Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your promise of the Spirit of truth, who will be with us and in us forever. And so with confidence, Lord, we commit your word, our minds and hearts to you today, to the Spirit. Take this time and this word and use it for the glory of our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's a two holiday weekend, isn't it? Memorial Day, and for those of us who follow Jesus, it's Pentecost Sunday. Do they have anything in common? I think they do. I think they do. You probably are familiar with the origins of Memorial Day. Started, I believe, around the Civil War, and folks would go out and put flowers on the graves of those killed in the war. And this practice grew and grew. It was originally called Decoration Day, and it grew to what we have now is the last Monday of the month, Memorial Day, where we remember all those who died in our wars. Growing up, for me, Memorial Day meant several things. I guess as a child, I wasn't so involved in the history of it, but it did mean some other things. It was the end of the school year, which was a big deal. The beginning of summer. It was when, and this is probably just a northern thing, but it was when our swimming pools opened up, right? Our swimming pools opened up. Our amusement parks opened up. Every school in the area would have a picnic day at Kennywood Park. It was a day for parades, and we always had a local parade in the town of White Oak. I think they still have it, but I was always excited about that because I played Little League Baseball, and all the baseball teams could dress up in their Little League uniforms, and we had the privilege of they would let us march in the Memorial Day parade. It was a weekend for picnics. It was when the camping season started. Many people, campers, this is their first big three-day weekend to get out there and go camping. For my parents, it was something else, and again, possibly this is just something that happens in this part of the country, but it was a weekend, it was a day to work outside after the long winter, to get everything outside back in shape. Your yard, your shrubs. My dad would oftentimes begin planting his garden, digging up the ground. My mother would work with her flowers, the grass, and the trees, trimming. A custom that somehow, when I got older and got my own place, it seemed to continue. That, of course, this weekend, weather permitting, is one of the first times you get out there and work in the yard and get the shrubs and the lawn in order. I guess others do it because certainly if you go to Lowe's or Home Depot this weekend or Walmart, the garden center, there seems to be quite a bit going on. So I guess other people were doing it this weekend too. Now here's where I think it compares to Pentecost. Pentecost is not a New Testament holy day, right? We know it's the coming of the Spirit. We know it's the birthday of the church. But if you were following the reading, it says that it was the day of Pentecost when this happened. Pentecost goes all the way back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus and Leviticus. It's one of the seven feasts of the nation of Israel. You began in the spring with Passover. You moved into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then you moved into the Feast of the First Fruits. And then 50 days from Passover, where we get our word Pentecost, the Greek word for 50. 50 days from Passover, we're still in the spring, we're right about where we are now. You had the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks. And they called it Pentecost. In the fall, there were three more: the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. Now, most of these feasts are centered around, guess what? Agriculture. Farming. That's what people did. And that's what most of these feasts are about. The Feast of First Fruits in the springtime. You would bring the first of the grain and the barley. And then you move to the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. And again, you're bringing your first fruits from your wheat harvest. You're bringing your first, your best, and you're bringing it to God. The Feast of Booths was you bring your first fruits of your olives and the best of your grapes. Even the Feast of Trumpets was a blowing of the trumpets to announce the agricultural year has come to a close. So with all of these feasts, the land, the plants, the agriculture plays a vital role. Now, my point is this. I wonder if there was some bragging at these feasts. You know what I mean? Some showing off. Like the county fair. You know, where all, have you ever been to a county fair and all of the local ladies, we see who makes the best pie? And we see which of the farmers have the best cow, grows the biggest pumpkins, best cucumbers. All of that happens at a county fair. And people show off their farming skills. I wonder, you know, if that happened. We say today, well, you know, she's really got a green thumb. I mean, I don't know what it is, but man, she has a green thumb. Man, does her stuff really do well. And then other people say, you know what, no matter what I try to grow, I kill it. I get plants, I take care of them, and I even talk to them, you know, and they die. I think I'd be in trouble back on these feasts for agriculture because, sadly, in my lifetime, I've probably mowed more stuff down and weed-whacked more stuff Linda will say to me sometimes, you know, I planted some stuff out there, some flowers out there. Do you know what happened? I know what happened. I buzzed that stuff right off. I think I know where I would end up when it comes to bragging about your agriculture and your plants and the things that you've grown. This specific day, this Feast of Weeks, this Pentecost, when, yes, you celebrated the fact that God created it all and God provides everything that comes from the earth, but it was also a day to say, look what I did. Look how well I did. Look at my sheaf here that I'm bringing in. I really grew some great stuff, man. My olives are delicious. Look how well I did. It was this day that the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes. Now, he only came at certain times and to certain people in the Old Testament. It was rather rare. I mean, we know that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He came upon Othniel. He came upon Jephthah in the book of Judges. And he came upon the first king, Saul, in the book of 1 Samuel. But it was a rare thing that the Spirit of God would come in the Old Testament. This now is something new. This is something new. On a day when people came with what they grew and their own stuff that they manufactured and that they had, the Holy Spirit comes. And it was only at certain days and certain times in the Old Testament, but this is an ordinary day. It was an ordinary day. People are here as they had done for thousands of years. Jewish meals, no matter where they lived, there were three high holy feasts, and this was one of them, where they had to go to Jerusalem, and they had to offer this sheaf, this first fruit of their land, what they grew to God. They had to do this. And so they did it for thousands of years. And so there they are in Jerusalem. As always, it's an ordinary day, but the Holy Spirit turns it into an extraordinary day, a day like no other. Because it was like just certain people receive him. Just certain people he falls upon. 3,000 in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 on this ordinary day. And then again in Acts chapter 8, he comes and he falls on the Samaritans. And again on the Gentiles. An ordinary day becomes an extraordinary day. Now, another point about the coming of the Spirit is the room. I think it's fascinating to study the upper room. You know, if you think about it, the Latin word is cenacle, means dining room. And they have the room over there. Who knows if it's the actual one, but it's been there for a long time. I've been in it. And they say it is the upper room. I don't know. But if you think about this room and what has taken place in this upper room, it begins with the Last Supper. Jesus tells them, you know, it seems to be a borrowed, rented place. The person has it already. So they go there and they have the Last Supper and he washes the disciples' feet. The room appears again on Easter. It says, because of fear, they were in this room and they were hiding in the grip of fear. And that Jesus comes through the walls and comes to them. It is the room where Jesus continued to meet with them after the resurrection for 40 days and teach about the kingdom of God. It is also mentioned again a fourth time for where they gather to elect Matthias, the 12th disciple. And then there's another mention of it in Acts chapter 4. a fifth mention about this room. They were in prison, they're released, and there is great miracles that go on, and it says they gathered back in this room, and the Holy Spirit came, and the room, the physical room, began to shake. So this room was filled with wind, filled with miracles. It began to shake and rattle. Jesus walked through its walls. He washed the feet. He gave us communion. An ordinary room becomes an extraordinary place because of his presence, because of the Spirit. And an ordinary message becomes an extraordinary message, a phenomenal sermon. When Jesus left, he left his message. He says, now this is what, take the message, take it out into all the world. I'm leaving this to you. I've been doing it for all these years. Now you got it. You know, here's the ball, run with it, I'm going. I got to ask you, would you give that mission to those 11 guys? Would you do that? No way in the world that makes sense. Those 11. If a CEO starts a company and is successful and he finds it's time to retire, does he just walk out and say, okay, let the employees do what they want? If a general is leading an army into battle and they have victories, but the general decides it's time to, does he just walk out and not leave somebody in command, somebody reputable? If a football team loses a star quarterback, don't they usually try and get another one and let him run the team? Why? Why did Jesus leave this message with these people? They didn't, by the time that he ascends on Ascension Day, they still don't have it. Oh, okay, so now we're going to start the kingdom of God, right? And the Jewish people are going to rule. They had not got it. And he leaves them with the gospel. He leaves them with this message to change the world. Look what happens at the end of Peter's first sermon, the first sermon of the book of Acts, right? We have the Holy Spirit comes and you know, Peter stands up and he begins to preach. And I just want to read to you the results of that sermon, okay? Now, when they heard this, this group of 3,000 and all of these people from all these different lands, now, when they heard this, the gospel, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? The Holy Spirit takes an ordinary message and turns it into an extraordinary one, a powerful one. And finally, he takes ordinary people and he helps them to do extraordinary things. They were, by all accounts, inadequate. They were Galileans. They made fun of their dialect and their accent, the way they spoke. They made fun of their intellectual knowledge. Oh, they said, how are you going to teach us about the scriptures? Aren't you just fishermen? What do you know? They made fun of all of this. The disciples were fearful. They were really cowards. I mean, Peter denied Jesus on Thursday night, the night of the Last Supper, three times. In the garden, they ran, right? They ran. Mark tells us one guy was so filled with fear, he ran without his clothes on. That's how scared he was. They left at the cross, most of them. They cowered in the upper room on Easter Sunday because of fear. Who are these people that have been left this mission and this message? What is so special about them? And now, here they are. Here they are, boldly preaching in the temple. Here they are confronting the religious leaders. We have to speak for Jesus. We have to obey God rather than men. We will not stop preaching. Here they are being beaten and suffered in prison, and it says they leave prison rejoicing that they were able to suffer for the gospel. They were happy. They were joyful that they were beaten. Here they are standing before some of Rome's fiercest rulers, standing firm. They're not polished, they're not powerful, they're not persuasive. It's not about better people, but better power. One minute you're empty, the next you're overflowing. One minute you're timid, the next you're bold. What happened? Because it doesn't depend on them. You may fail with your crops and your plants on Pentecost. Maybe your wheat and barley's not looking so good. What you bring to the Lord. Or maybe your life isn't so great. Maybe you haven't done so well in life. And it's not what it should look like. Maybe you made a mess of it. Self-improvement does not work. It's spirit empowerment. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.